Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
Unless they could all fit 5,000 or 50,000 each. John chapter 2, verse number 1, it is our custom to read, stand for the reading of God's word as we honor God's word. I'm going to read 11 verses, so I know most of you would probably know this story, but I want to read it in your hearing so that you get the gist. Sometimes there's little details in scripture that we may often miss, but remember there are no throwaway lines in the Bible, but every detail is often left on purpose to give us a little further understanding. John chapter 2, verse 1, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me?" Now he probably didn't say it like that. I would encourage any child, if your parent asks you to do something, don't refer to them as woman or man unless you want to cop a old-fashioned, you know what, you can't do that anymore in Australia, they'll lock you up. Woman, what does thou concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. He hasn't started his ministry yet. And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece, times that by 4 in liters. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk or have had enough to drink, then the inferior is now set. You have kept the good wine until now." He saved the best for last. That'll preach. And this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. I want to talk to you on the glimpses of glory. Glimpses of glory. Amen. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, in Jesus' name, we consense, Lord God, in our spirit, the presence of the King of Kings, of our Lord and Savior. Lord God, we are hungry for you to move in our lives individually and corporately as a body. Now we ask you to speak to us through the ministry of your word. Let your word have its perfect work. Let it speak to our hearts, our minds. Let it bring faith and inspiration. Let it bring conviction, Lord God, where it is needed. And Lord, as you anoint your servant and the people of God, we pray and believe that you're going to do something wonderful here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands and thank the Lord for his word. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if you're going to help me preach, you may be seated. Amen. This story is recorded only in the Gospel of John. It is not recorded in the other synoptic Gospels. And perhaps maybe it was preserved by the Apostle John to give us a little insight as to how things have worked in the life of Christ and his ministry. But in fact, this was before the ministry of Christ. And what makes this first miracle so interesting is, It is not a miracle where it is a matter of life and death. It is a miracle of something that may seem to us on the surface, on our first reading of the story, as something trivial. It's not like somebody died and needed to be prayed back to life. It was just wine. They ran out of wine. They ran out of drink at a wedding. Sure, it may be seen as a little bit of a disappointment. It's a shame. But you have to understand that it wasn't something that was that serious for us. Now, I'd like to make an initial inference here to say that even though they'd run out of wine, nobody was killed, nobody died, there wasn't a brawl at a wedding, even though some weddings have had that. but it wasn't a tragedy in the sense that nobody was killed. And yet, still, Mary, the mother of Jesus, implored the Lord to do something. They've ran out of wine, and Jesus says, well, what have you know, woman, and again, he wasn't trying to put her down. It can also be a term of addressing somebody like madam. Madam, what does that got to do with me? That my time, my ministry hasn't even begun yet. Yet she still implores him, tells the servants, whatever he tells you to do, you just do it. The first inference I'd like to make is that even though this may seem trivial, we can still invite the Lord in our trivial situations for his presence in our midst. Amen, amen. Because we're not always facing life and death situation every day. And if that's the only time where you're going to ask the Lord to come into your circumstance, then that may be just a once in a while relationship with God. But I believe that this shows to us that even in the normal day-to-day circumstances of life, we can invite the Lord to come in. Amen. My wife and I would have this argument. You know, she would pray for parking when she goes to the mall. And I'm like, well, you know, the Lord doesn't really want to be bothered with something so trivial. Maybe he wants us to park at the furthest end of the car park so I can get some exercise, so I can get healthier. And she said, well, you know what? When I pray for parking, God always gives me a good spot. And so come Christmas time, when I'm driving into the mall, I find myself, oh, Lord Jesus, people are driving like crazy right now. Can you give me a little park? And without fail, she always gets good parking spot. Listen, you can invite the Lord in your everyday circumstance. You might not be facing a Red Sea. It might not be a matter of life and death. But even in the workplace, you got an assignment due at school. You can say, Jesus, please help me with my assignment. Jesus, please help me to do a good job. In fact, let me remind you that whatever it is that you do 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, you can give glory to God in the menial things. Even if you're just flipping burgers, even if you're driving an Uber, you can drive an Uber and say, Lord, let me drive to the glory of God. Let me sweep the floor to the glory of God. Let me make the best fried chicken on this side of Sydney, of eastern, of western suburbs, of KFC. Come on, whatever it is, you can invite the Lord. You can give glory to God. Not just on a Sunday, but Monday to Friday and Saturday, whatever it is that you do. Amen. I must confess that I even do that on the tennis court. I'm saying, Lord, let me beat my opponent today. No, sometimes, Lord, let me be able to enjoy a game without hurting my knee, without hurting my back, without getting injured. Amen. I say a prayer, I do. But this shows to us that you can invite the Lord in the normal, everyday, day-to-day circumstances. It also shows to us that even though Jesus declined the request of his own mother, he says, you know, what am I going to do with it? This has got nothing to do with me. My ministry hasn't started. Yet she, not because of her relationship with him, because he addressed it, didn't address it. Listen, he didn't say, Mom, listen, you know, not yet. Come on now. I'm not ready to be exposed just yet. He didn't say, Mom. He said, Woman. And yet she ignored that response and simply said to her servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. You know what that shows to us? It shows to us that even though he didn't respect necessarily because of his relationship with her to answer her request, but because she simply believed and had faith enough and said, I know you're going to do it, because she knows who he is. She knew who he was. She knows what he was capable of, that she simply believed. And Jesus had to do something. He said, okay, there's something about faith, brothers and sisters. There's something about a belief that despite your circumstance and you think you might be a nobody, that God will not answer you. I've come to tell you, if you are sitting in this room this morning and you've got faith, you can believe God and his word. I promise you, God has to respond. Jesus has to do something. Whatever your needs are, if you need him to help you with a job, you need him to help you repair your marriage, your relationship, you need God to heal your body, if you can believe and have faith, God will do something. Come on, somebody. You've got that inside of you. The Bible says every man, everyone has been given the measure of faith. That's why you're sitting here this morning. There's something on the inside of you that said, I've got to get to the house of God. I believe God can do something in my life. Your faith is the spark to release the power of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I might not know much. I might not have a degree. I don't have the greatest job. But there's something in this vessel that says, I believe, I believe, I believe. God, you're going to have to kick me out before I let go of my faith in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he had to do what she instructed the servants to do. He already told her, it's not my time yet. Oh, forget that. I know what you can do. I'm going to ask you anyway. Come on, you've been told so many excuses why you can't get over it, why you can't get it done, why you cannot overcome. You've heard all of your life you'll never amount to anything. You've heard it all of your life that you're no good. But can I remind you that if you believe God's word, if you trust, and if you know who he is, you know what God is capable of doing. You know the power of the Lord to transform your life. You can access the power of God. And God is going to release his anointing upon your life. You can see a difference. You can be changed. Oh, I've run ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Please be seated. And here's the Bible says that he manifested or he revealed his glory. In something that seems so trivial, something that doesn't seem like a huge, of course, it's a miracle, he turned water into wine. That I pray that sometimes, that what I eat, God will turn the composition of the sugar into just protein. Lord, turn this Big Mac, let it be like salad in my body. Unfortunately, that's never worked for me. But he turned this water into wine. And this, the Bible says, was the manifestation of the glory of God. And I submit to you, brothers and sisters, here's my message, very simple, is that the glory of God is revealed when something is transformed. God is the God of transformation. Because if you think about it for a moment, God is capable of creating water out of nothing. He doesn't need the water to be in the water pots. He can, with his finger, be able just to make water pots appear full of wine. He could, with his power, just create something out of nothing. That's the power of God. But if you read the Bible, you'll notice that God always takes what's already here in his creation, and what he does is he simply transforms what is already in existence. He's a transforming God. Amen. He doesn't waste anything. Amen. Nobody is a waste. Nobody is too far gone. Nobody, even if the world turns its back on you and I, even if they say that you're worthless and that you're useless, that you have no value, it may be, as the old saying goes, one man's junk is another man's treasure. Can I tell you that the world's junk is God's treasure? That's why you're never wasted. You're never worthless. Amen. No matter how far deep we've gone into the world of sin, no matter how immoral and dark our life is, when you come into contact with the King of Glory, he can take what the world deems as useless and begins to do the work of transformation. That's why he can take somebody from the street corner and put them in the amen corner. He can take you from the guttermost and put you in the uttermost. He can take a sinner and turn them into a saint. I've come to tell you that God's glory is revealed when your life is transformed by the power of God. It will be a witness to the world, and no matter where you are, God can change your life. Oh, yes, I'm looking around this room right now, and I see a whole bunch of ex-everything. Ex-liars, ex-cheaters, ex-drug addicts, ex-drug dealers, ex-alcoholics, ex-adulterers, ex-everything. And when you come to Jesus, God transforms you, and you become a child of God. You become a son and a daughter of the Most High God, and God changes you. Oh, hallelujah. That's why the apostle said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be changed. How? By the renewing of your minds. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. He never wastes anything. He takes what you have. He said to Moses, Moses, what do you got? What do you have in your hand? He says, it was nothing but a stick. He said, well, throw it to the ground. It was his staff. That was the only kind of identifying feature that he possessed as to who he was. He was a shepherd. And he laid it down. And when he laid it down before the Lord, it turned into a snake. And he said, pick it up by the tail. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to touch snakes at all. I'll look at snakes from the screen. But I know, I have sense enough to know that you don't pick up a snake by its tail. Because then the head will be free to bite you. But he said, pick it up by the tail. And he picked it up and it turned again into a rod. Something that was so insignificant, so trivial. Yet when you surrender it to God, God can turn it into something miraculous and powerful. Listen, God's brought me here to tell you today that no matter how little you have in this life, you think, I don't have anything to give God. I'm not talented. I can't sing. I can't speak. I can't do all of this. Listen, whatever little, it might just be a stick. But if you lay it down before God, that stick, through the power of God, he can use for his glory. He used that stick that became a rod of God. God changed the name of that ordinary stick to now become the rod of God. And when they came across the Red Sea, he stuck out that rod and God performed a miracle. Can I tell you, whatever little you have, you might just have a testimony. You might just have one little thing that you can give to God. But if you're willing to surrender yourself in the hands of God, he can use it to bring about his glory, to manifest the glory of God in this world. Oh, I wish I had some Pentecostals that believe he wants to use you. He wants to use your life. He wants to reveal his glory to the world through you. I'm nobody, Pastor. I don't have any talent. I don't have anything to give. Yes, you do. You've got a mouth. You've got a life. Surrender it to God, and he will use it. Hallelujah. He is a God who specializes in transformations. That he can change somebody that was hooked on drugs, somebody that was filled with depression, life of loneliness and emptiness, and he can change it to the point where there's joy filling, overflowing them. Hallelujah. That's what's amazing about us as human beings. We have the capacity for change. When John the Baptist began his ministry, it was coming from 300 years of silence. There was not one prophetic word. The Old Testament ended in the book of Malachi, and there was silence. Then all of a sudden, a voice came crying out in the wilderness. His voice, he was just wearing a camel's hair, wearing a leather girdle, a leather belt, and eating locusts and honey. He wasn't one of these fancy preachers coming out of a helicopter. He was just preaching out in the wilderness, and he was so compelling and convicting because he was a prophet of God. And if you hear his message, he wasn't prophesying about the future. He wasn't prophesying about the end times of the book of Revelation. Yet Jesus said he's the greatest prophet that ever was born to a woman. All he simply preached was the kingdom of God was at hand. And the masses came out of the city to hear him. The masses came out and he said, be baptized to show your change, to show your repentance, to show your transformation. The priests and the Pharisees came out to watch him because they were seeing all of the people were leaving the cities. They were all going out. Where are these people going? Where are they going? So the priests came out and followed them and started listening to John the Baptist. And they were listening to him. And they were making out and they're saying, well, you know, this guy's got some influence. They're listening to him. The people are listening to him. So we better pay attention to him. This Pharisees and these priests that were the religious elite. And then John the Baptist simply turned to them. And he said, bring forth repentance. He said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, don't just look like you're going to be in church. Don't just look religious. He said, but bring a change. Transform your life. Get in the water and be baptized and cleanse yourself. Can I tell you, Peter preached the same message on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when he preached about Jesus, and the people were so convicted, they said to them, what should I do? Oh, it's the greatest question you could ever ask somebody. It's the greatest question you could ever ask God. What shall I do to be saved? Peter said it in Acts 2:38. He said, repent, change your mind, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, get in the water, get buried in water in Jesus' name, and you shall have your sins washed away. And you will be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I've come to tell you, there's a change that happens. There's a transformation that takes place when you get baptized, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Something is transformed. I can't understand. I can't really explain how it happens. When you get in that water, you are buried with Christ, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, in baptism. and you come out of the water, you walk in a newness. You live in a like in the same way, the comparison is given to the way that Jesus came out of the grave after dying on the cross. He was buried for 3 days in the grave. The third day he came out, but he came out in a glorified body. And that's kind of what happens when you get baptized. You come up out of the water and you're different. There's a different sort of nature to you. You become a different creature. You walk into glory, like in it, well, your body's not glorified. Jesus' body was glorified because he could walk through walls. Imagine that. He was like one of the Fantastic Four. He could walk through walls. But he could still eat. The Bible says we're going to have one of those glorified bodies one day. But he likens the plan of salvation to an individual to the same way. Because something changes. They look at you now, you know, you kind of still look the same. Still got the same nose. Still got the same lips unless you inject. And I'm not putting any of those ladies down to do that. I'm just saying they kind of all look the same after a while. But you still, nothing's changed on the outside necessarily. But who you are, the nature of who you are, it's transformed. That's why it uses the word, he is a new creature. It doesn't say he's a reformed alcoholic or a reformed liar. A reformed sheep, he becomes a whole new creature. And so here's how we change. You know, he is. You read throughout the Bible. He takes a fatherless old man by the name of Abram, and he makes him a patriarch of many nations. He even changes his name from Abram to Abraham. He changes Sarai to Sarah. He takes a slave, teenage slave boy, and he transforms him to become the prime minister of the entire known world. He takes a stuttering old man who is a fugitive, a murderer, fugitive on the run, and he transforms him to be the deliverer of an entire nation. Listen, don't believe the lie that you can never change. You got to start rejecting the lies that you were told all of your life. That you'll never amount to anything. That your destiny is always your father was an alcoholic. Your grandfather was an alcoholic. So your destiny is, that's a lie from the devil. You can take the authority of the name of Jesus. You can rebuke every curse that's been passed down from one generation to another by the power of the word of God and the authority. And your destiny is not the lies of the devil. God has a plan for your life. He's destined for you to be free from addiction, to be free from the bondage of sin, to be free from the lies and the maladies of the lies in your mind. God wants you to be free. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody coming up to you and say, well, how come you always look so miserable? I don't look miserable. My whole family just looks like that. It's a family trait. We all look like we just ate a bag of lemons. We all just look like we had 7 mother-in-laws move in with us. You don't have to be shackled to that same lie that you've been believed. That's why that's why Mary said the only commandment that Mary, the mother of Jesus, ever gave in the New Testament was that commandment that we read. She said, whatever he says to you, do it. It's the same message I'm echoing here today. You want to see a change in your life? Whatever God says to you, do it. And when you do it, you're going to release the power of that dunamis, that dynamite, if you will, of the word of God. Whatever God says to you, follow his word. Come on, you got to quit listening to Hollywood. Quit listening to the lies of social media. Quit listening to these rappers and singers and actors and celebrities. They don't have the truth. Their lives are upside down. Get married 10 times in 10 years. There's only one truth. Jesus said, sanctify them, clean them out, purify them through the truth. Thy word, the word is the truth. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm sorry. I got to calm down. Okay, I'm chilling out. Okay, I'm going to put on a Baptist mode right now. I'm just going to talk. I've got to hurry. He could change a Peter, a Simon, into a Peter. Somebody who denied the Lord three times and yet would become the leader and the first preacher of the first New Testament church in the book of Acts. He can take a persecutor of Christians whom they laid the clothes of the martyred Christians at his feet, the Saul of Tarsus. God would change his name to Paul and become the apostle to the Gentile world, writing majority of the New Testament. Because God can change. He can transform you. And here's what he says, whatever he says to do, you got to do it. So you got to get the word here, the word of God. You got to meditate on God's word. That's why we have all these Bible studies that we do, connect groups. We're trying to provide, because if we have great service on Sunday, wonderful. We shout, we scream, we get goosebumps. Some of us get healed, get filled, and that's wonderful. But when you go home, you don't take that with you. Something has to, he says, be not conformed to this world, Romans chapter 12, but be transformed. Metamorphokai in the Greek, the way a caterpillar transforms, metamorphosizes into a butterfly. How do we get transformed? He says, by the renewing of your minds. Our minds are like computers. Whatever you put in, whatever you program into that computer, that's what you're going to get out. So junk in, junk out. Garbage in, garbage out. That's why you wonder, why am I always so depressed and down? Why can't I ever get the victory? It's because you're not being transformed. You're not filling your mind. You're not getting the input of God's truth. And when you get this word, it's not just some nice teachings. It is the word of God. The Bible says it's the power of his word that spoke the worlds into existence. And when you get this word here and you are transformed, you begin to walk in the victory. All of a sudden, you don't even realize that the things that you used to like, you don't like them no more. Oh, when you get the word in your heart, the things you used to do, you don't want to do them anymore. Amen. When you get the word in your heart, you don't want to look at that bad stuff anymore, because it's just causing you to be empty and depressed and down. When you get God's word, your tastes change. You want to be in the house of God more. You want to go and witness to somebody. You want to pray more. You want to give more. You want to step out by faith more. We don't do memory verses anymore. I want to challenge you to memorize scripture. Memorize them, not for the sake of memorizing, but because when you get it in here, and you get it in here, it's got to produce fruit. It's like a seed. Whatever seed you put in the ground, that's the tree you're going to get. If you put an apple seed, you're not going to get a mango tree. Whatever seed you put in here, that's what you're going to get. If you're going to watch stuff on the internet, that's not good for you. If all you're going to do is listen and entertainment and all that. And, you know, I'm not saying that all that stuff is bad. But I'm saying you've got to get something in you that's going to produce life. That's going to produce truth. That's going to set you free. Give you a new way of thinking. Give you a new way of living. Give you a new behavior. Hallelujah. Memorize the Bible. You've got so many other options, so many options to be able to read the scriptures. You got your phones. You got all kinds of devices to be able to, you can even hear it. I remember we had to wait for years to get the Alexander Scorby Bible on cassette. Anybody remember those? Alexander Scorby was the guy that narrated the Bible, and he had the proper English, and he pronounced it really proper. Thus saith the Lord. I said, oh, that's how you pronounce that name. We always kind of have our own Bible pronunciations. But nowadays, there's no excuse. That's why she said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Because when you do, when you get his word and you're living it out, something happens. Like I said, faith is like the spark to the fuse that explodes the dynamite. If the Bible says, if it's not mixed with faith, if you don't have faith in the word, it profits you nothing. It's pointless. But if you can hear his word, like I preached the other week, and do it, just do it, something will happen in your life. Hallelujah. I've got to stop. Musicians, you could come. So here's what they did. And he instructs them, take 6 water pots, fill it up. They didn't just fill it halfway. They didn't fill it near the top. The Bible says they filled it up to the brim. That's what you've got to do. If you want to see a transformation, it's got to be to the brim. It's got to be your all. It can't just be half-hearted. And, you know, obviously if somebody's first coming to God, they're just trying to explore and trying to figure out, and that's fine. God does a work in that. But I'm talking about if you want to experience a change, it's not going to come by being a part-time Christian, being a casual Christian. But it's got to be, it's going to happen when you give your all, when you are immersed. See, that's a picture of baptism in the Holy Ghost. Baptism is an immersion, is being filled to overflowing. When that's why he says you were baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's not just going to give you a little bit of the Holy Ghost, but when somebody receives the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's an overflowing to the brim. Not just a little bit, not just a part of it, but to the brim. So I don't know at what point they were carrying those vessels, 6 water pots. Contain about altogether about, I think, 600 liters. I calculated 600 liters. At some point, that water transformed into wine. I'm afraid God requires nothing less than all. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your emotion." Your emotion's got to be involved in it. I heard some people say, "Oh, you Pentecostals are too emotional. You get too excited." I said, "Well, if you had your sins washed away, if you know, according to the promise of God's word, that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven, that our finite minds can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. It's like all of your Christmases, I mean, that's too weak of a description of what heaven's going to be. We don't even know the best feelings that you can even conjure in your imagination. That's going to be heaven." And believe it or not, folks, all of us here's a wonderful statistic. 100% of us are going to die. Oh, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? That's a bit offensive. It's true. We're all going to die. And if I was about to walk into a ditch and somebody said, "Hey, listen, don't take another step. You can't see there's a big hole there that's going to kill you." I wouldn't get offended by that. How dare you say that to me, that I'm going to fall in? How dare you? That's the world we're living in today. That's the generational mindset that we're facing today, that you can't offend. No, I'm going to be thankful. Thank you, bro. Thank you for saving me from this pain. And so, it takes the water pots, turns it to wine, saving the best for last. I simply want to end this very, very simple message to tell you the best is yet to come for you. For your life, if you're willing to be teachable, if you're willing to be changed, if you're willing to look at yourself and say, "Yeah, you know, I could still grow up. There's still some maturity that needs to take place in my life." I promise you, God will save the best for last. Hallelujah. If he doesn't come in my generation, I'm telling you, the next generation, they're going to be even more powerful. They're going to be even more anointed. Before he comes back, I want you to know that he can bring a change in your life. Would you stand? I feel like God wants to do this work in somebody's life. Perhaps you've struggled with some things, struggled with the idea that God cannot change me or do a new work in my life. I want you to know that's a lie. He can change you today. He can fill you with his Holy Spirit. He can baptize you full to the brim. As I said, he doesn't expect perfection. He just wants your all. He doesn't expect us to have everything right. He just expects us to give our all to him. And when we do, he can transform. Would you lift your voices in prayer right now? Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for what I feel in this house. Thank you for your anointing. God, right now, we're hungry for you. Lord, we don't want to be just a part-time, casual Christian, but we want to live for you with all that is within us, with everything that is within us, to worship you and to give you praise. Lord, that we may be changed, that we may become a new creature in Christ, that we may go from glory to glory and manifest to this world the glory of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we're open today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to open up this altar, invite you to out of your seat to respond. Just like these servants of Jesus who simply responded to his command. If you wanted to bring your water pots, as it were, fill it up to the brim with the Holy Spirit, and God's Spirit can change you. His power has the ability. The Spirit of God has the ability to make you a new person, a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Hallelujah. Whatever he tells you to do, if you do it, you're going to see his power. If you fill your life with God's Spirit and presence, well, there will be change. This altar is open. If you've not received the gift of the Holy Ghost this morning, I want to invite you to come to this altar. We've got ministers and leaders that can pray with you to receive this wonderful gift. If you've not repented of your sin, the same message of John the Baptist and Peter the Apostle compels all of us to repent, to turn to him, to change, to come before him and give our life and see what God can do in your life. This altar is open. Come to the Lord Jesus. If you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, we have water to baptize you. You can be born again of water and the Spirit.